Allison Bang. You're listening to Syracuse University GradCast. Today, I'm joined by Glenn Wright, also of the Graduate School. We're here to talk about the three-minute thesis competition, one of my absolute favorite events of the year, and something that I think is sometimes not known about or understood as well as it could be. So I asked Glenn to join us so that we could talk about it a little bit and give you a sense of why you might want to participate either by being a thesis participant or by being in the audience, by listening in on what other people's research is. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Glenn, what exactly is the three-minute thesis?
Dan, the three-minute thesis is a research communication competition. It's not entirely dissimilar from the elevator pitch or elevator talk that most grad students are aware they should have some version of ready to go in case they're ever in the company of people who could positively influence their careers in some way. But this is specifically a description of your dissertation project. Okay, so it's for dissertators primarily. You're also eligible if you're a master's student in a research program. So your master's thesis, if you're pursuing the thesis option, would count. But those are the only two forms of research projects that are eligible for the competition. And it's basically just like what it sounds like. You've got 3 minutes to describe your project in a way that makes it evident to the non-specialist what it's about, and in a way that gives them a sense of the importance of the project. Why would you bother to conduct this line of research in the first place? And what makes it cool and interesting? And so you've got 180 seconds to accomplish that feat, and then a panel of faculty judges will weigh in and determine the winner.
Now, I've participated in this event for a number of years, but things are a little different now because of the pandemic. How is this going to work? When does this happen? Where does this happen during COVID?
Yeah, so this will be the seventh year that we've actually run the competition. The first one was in 2014, and we did it every year since then, of course, in live format, so in a small auditorium where each contestant would take turns walking up to the stage and delivering their presentation. Now with COVID, what we're going to do is an online version of the event, and the timeline is basically as follows. March 8th is your deadline to sign up for it, to throw your hat into the ring. So that's just a few days from when this podcast is going to air. Then the following day, there will be a prep session that I will lead at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, March 9th, that will just kind of go over some of the tips and tricks and review the format in more detail than we're going to be able to do here. Then you'll have a couple of weeks to prepare a video that you will submit. So you will actually submit your three-minute presentation in the form of a video, which we will all store on a Blackboard organization. And then on Friday, March 26th, this is a provisional date, but we're thinking 1 p.m. on Friday, March 26th, will be the live judging event. So the panel of judges and all the audience and the participants will be gathered in a virtual space, and we will just go through and watch everyone's video, and then the judges will render their determination there on the spot.
You've spoken a little bit about the master's in a research program, people, you know, maybe doing a thesis, as well as PhDs who are working on research, preferably their dissertation, but potentially something sort of leading up to that. But for people listening there who might be thinking to themselves, am I one of these people? Should I be doing this? How do you know if you're a good candidate for this kind of presentation?
An important thing to note is that you do not need to be done with your research. Okay, you do not need to be ready to defend your dissertation. I mean, it's always nice to have results that you can talk about, but that is not an expectation. So my rule of thumb is if you have submitted your dissertation proposal or your thesis proposal, or otherwise gotten to the point where you have fully planned what it is and you're in a position to describe its purpose, its methods, and what you hope the research will accomplish, then you are far enough along to do this thing. Everyone who fits the criteria of being in a research program at that appropriate level is a good candidate and should seriously consider doing it. There is no benefit to being in one discipline or one field over another. It's all about your ability to communicate. So having in mind that audience of lay people who do not understand the jargon and the inside baseball aspects of your discipline, those are the people that you're talking to. So everyone should do it. If you have done it before, as long as you did not win it, please come back and do it again. It's a great experience. And again, we'll give you a leg up in terms of any kind of elevator pitch type situation. And also just to be able to describe what you're doing in a way that's going to make sense to people like, say, your family members who might otherwise be a little nonplussed regarding exactly what it is that you're doing with your life. So there's lots of upsides to participating. There are really no downsides. I also want to add that three of the six previous winners are non-native speakers of English. So if you're in that category and you're thinking, I'm reluctant to do it, bear that fact in mind. It has not been a disadvantage in the past.
I was certainly going to add that it's not really about eloquence. It's about getting your ideas across in a way that's impactful and powerful for people. And there are lots of ways to do that. And I've been able to see that time and time again. So and now I'm saying I've seen that before time and time again, which slips into our next question. How is this competition judged?
Yeah, I mentioned we're going to have a faculty panel, presumably three faculty members from a range of disciplines and schools and colleges around campus. What they are going to be looking for basically are three things. There's the comprehension factor. In other words, a literal understanding of what your research is about. You have to be able to explain that effectively. The importance factor, why does it matter? What is at stake with your research? Why is the world going to be a better place because you have done the work that you're doing? And the coolness factor, the inherent interest, which could be in the form of innovative methodology or a new approach to a topic. Whatever that is, you need to make it sound really cool and interesting and create that sense in the listener's mind that, wow, I wish I had thought of that. That's a great way to approach this important topic. So those are the three criteria that the judges are going to be looking at. So obviously you want to be well prepared. You want to have practiced it enough times that you look calm and like you're presenting yourself effectively the way you hope to. And it's really about establishing a bond with the viewer in this case, because it's an online format. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for this format versus the traditional format where your audience is right there in front of you, is going to be imagining that they're out there and trying to create a bond with people who will not be there physically and will not be experiencing your talk in real time.
Let's talk about people who say, my ability to communicate clearly, my ability to communicate with my family, my chance of practicing getting my message across and even refining my ideas for why I might be pursuing what I'm pursuing. Let's say somebody listening to this is not persuaded by any of these things to sign up. Let's get real. What do you win if you do this?
You win a laptop that is probably better than the one you already have. It's your choice of Surface Book 3 or 13-inch MacBook Pro, depending on which of those platforms you prefer. If you've already got a nice laptop, of course, you are then able to sell it for probably something close to its retail value. I think they're both between $1,200 and $1,400 bucks in value. There is also a membership that you can elect. That's a membership in the professional organization of your choice. So presumably the major professional organization of your discipline, if you're not already a member of that, or if you are, then something else, perhaps more narrowly related to your specific research interests. You get a year's free membership in that, whatever it may be, of your choice. There's also a People's Choice Award. So the other contestants and the audience get to vote. That will occur while the judges are having their deliberations. Once everyone has gone, audience gets to vote, and there will be a People's Choice Award made. I'm unprepared to tell you, Dan, exactly what that prize will be at this point, but rest assured it will be mighty fine. And then the last thing that you get probably is the opportunity to represent Syracuse University in the all ACC 3-minute thesis showdown. So the Atlantic Coast Conference, a couple of years ago, started up its showcase of champions of the 3-minute thesis from all the different schools. I have not yet heard what the plans are for this coming year. It will be just sometime in calendar year 2021. My hunch is it is most likely to be a virtual event like what we're doing. But if it's late enough and the pandemic is over, there is a chance that you could go to Washington, D.C. for a 3-day all expenses paid trip, which is what the previous winner from SU, Ying Zhang, was able to enjoy. So that's what you get.
Nice. Any tips, any advice that you might have for somebody who's thinking, okay, so I do want a new computer, or I want to learn how to communicate cogently and with great clarity to an audience of my peers and others. How do they succeed at this?
Well, Dan, I welcome your thoughts here because you've judged it several times, so you're in a good position to weigh in on that as well. From my standpoint, I think one of the most important things is getting your pacing down correctly. Don't rush at the end. That's a temptation that many people succumb to. That's why you need to practice it and make sure that you're kind of hitting the markers within your 3 minutes as you go along so that you don't have to try to rush and wrap it all up at the end. My rule of thumb for that is try to shoot for 2 minutes and 45 seconds. You don't have to use the whole 3 minutes. And if you plan for 2:45, if you do wind up going a little bit longer, as you're in mid-performance, you have a little bit of a buffer there. I think that another big challenge is really explaining the nature of the research. Again, that literal comprehension piece. And that's going to be more of a challenge for some than others. There are some, depending on your field, it may be one where the average person in the street can pretty readily figure out more or less what you're talking about. In other highly technical areas, there may be a bigger challenge to that. So that is where you're going to want to use analogies and examples to quickly convey the nature of what you're doing. Pick something that people already know about that resembles your project in some way and use those tools as a way of explaining it. And then I think the third major thing that you need to think about is having a good slide. We haven't even mentioned that yet, but you get one static projected image that goes along with your talk. You don't have to use a slide, but it's a good opportunity. And in my view, you would be foolish not to take advantage of the option to have a slide, but just one. And there can't be any embedded video or audio or anything that moves within it. Okay. Just kind of like a poster, except way less busy than a poster of your research would be. Much, much less busy, because you want the focus to be on you. And this I've seen many times. People put too much stuff on the slide, and the audience spends the entire 3 minutes looking at the slide and trying to figure out what you're going to say based on what they're looking at instead of paying attention to you. So you want a slide that's effective, that is striking initially for the reader, but doesn't wind up diverting, or for the listener, but doesn't wind up diverting the listener's attention. So those would be the big things for me. Pacing, good use of examples and analogies, and a nice and not overly busy slide.
What I would add to that is, first of all, I'd say that this is really genuinely one of my favorite events of the year. I've been able to be a judge now 3, 4, 5 times in the past. And it's amazing to see the level of refinement and creativity that people use when they do these presentations. It feels a lot like, and you might think about this when you are structuring yours, it feels a lot like a really good TED Talk, but really short. What I've liked best when I've seen good presentations is, as Glenn said, pacing, but I like to think of it as the way that you distribute the arc of your story over that 3-minute period of time. You know, maybe some people will start with something really catchy, and then in the middle, there's a kind of a slump when you're going through the weeds. And then at the end, there's sort of trying to get back into something more comprehensible, but now I'm lost, right? And I think that what really helps to prevent that is to help the reader, the listener, excuse me, the viewer in this case, to understand why this is urgent, why this is important, why this research makes the world better, as Glenn said. And I think that when somebody does a really good job at that and does it patiently and with clarity for the audience, I think it comes through really nicely. It comes through beautifully. And I've seen that time and time again. Glenn and I still talk about some of the ones of the past that really stay in your mind. I don't mean to say that with intentions of intimidating somebody who says, oh, it sounds like the bar is really high. What I would say to that is you can attain that bar because it happens so often. So many people do really great jobs, but it's something that really shows the kind of incredible ingenuity that people have at Syracuse. As Glenn said, some people have a sort of home advantage with a really relatable topic. Maybe somebody is studying COVID-19 right now and everybody's on the edge of their seats wondering what on earth they're going to say about COVID. But I've seen some of the most far out abstract concepts brought home by a really good analogy, as Glenn said, by a really effective comparison or illustration. That's maybe where the slide comes in. And those are the things that you should concentrate on. We've awarded both really abstract and really down to earth presentations in the past. I don't think that that has figured in as much as you might expect. And so it's a really beautiful opportunity. Think of it not only as a question of whether you'll win or not, but also as a process for you to come up with the core. What is the story of my work? What is the central thing that I want to do and to elucidate about what I've done in my research?
Yep. And we're going to have, as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be a prep session on March 9th. That's the day after your deadline to register for the 3-minute thesis. So that'll be 75 minutes where we can delve in more detail into some of the strategies and tips and tricks. If you sign up for it, then you will get the link to the meeting that will be that prep session. And I will also send you a little document kind of outlining what your options are in terms of submitting the video, like how you want to record it and how and what you should think about in terms of the different options there. So that will be an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about kind of how you should think about approaching this. And you can also, if you don't want to attend the prep session or in addition, just go online, just go on YouTube, Google up 3-minute thesis. You can find a multitude of examples of great 3-minute thesis performances on the 3-minute thesis website itself. It's just 3minutethesis.org. It's run out of the University of Queensland in Australia, which originated the 3-minute thesis competition. There are tons of other examples just out there on YouTube, as well as little prep sessions, shorter than ours on the 9th will be, but you know, ranging in length from a few minutes to maybe 25 minutes, where people who are well informed can give you some tips for it. So there are lots of ways that you can figure out how to put together a good presentation like this.
Before we go, Glenn, do you have any final thoughts or ideas you'd like to share?
Well, maybe just to pick up on what you said a minute ago, Dan, in terms of some people maybe having a little bit of a sexier topic than others. And if you're thinking like, well, like, where's my angle into getting people to appreciate the inherent interest of my research. Like if you think like you might be facing a challenge in that department, it is totally possible. It is totally doable. We had one of the best contestants ever who won it, I believe, the second or third year of the competition, David Moss. I believe he's in the earth sciences PhD program.
The clam guy.
His topic, yes, you will recall this, Dan.
Yes, of course.
His topic was looking at how these ancient clams at different levels of altitude had different lifespans. I guess some living 200 years and some living into the 400s of years. So he was talking about differential lifespans of clams. He made it really interesting and cool and found a way to do that. So there are ways that you can make virtually any topic, no matter how seemingly unpromising, work well in this competition. Again, it's about creating that link with your audience, figuring out what are the aspects of your project that they're going to care about or that connect up with things of more general interest. For example, in David Moss's case, he related the question of lifespan to the potential application of that information to human lifespans. Okay, so if there was a way that we could figure out how to adjust our environment in a way that doubled a human lifespan, that would be super cool and super interesting.
That would be neat.
And Nobel Prize winning. So not that his research on clams was ever going to really go in that direction, but he was able to effectively use that tantalizing possibility to generate interest in his presentation.
It was fantastic. Well, thanks, Glenn, for joining me to share a little bit more about the 3-minute thesis. I want to remind everybody, March 8th is the deadline to sign up. Just remember also March 26th is the day when we will be doing this live. You'll get emails about all this. You don't have to memorize everything. Unfortunately, there's no quiz at the end of this podcast, but I think anybody would benefit from at least watching the video while the live judging goes on. But I think anybody stands to make their work better, more engaging. And I think for many people, the ability to take several takes to get it just the way that you want it in a video format might make this the most appealing time to do this particular competition. Depends on whether you're more afraid of a stage or a glowing light on your computer. But I'm hoping that there will be more people that think this is worth doing this year, because I've just loved it every year. It's been really fantastic. And I look forward to doing it again.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to talk about the 3-minute thesis, Dan. I appreciate it. And perhaps I'll see you on March 26th.
You definitely will. Thank you very much to everybody listening. This has been Syracuse University GradCast.